society, culture, and class in America. Live from Long Island's Gold Coast, this is the Melissa Itell Duran Show on Breaking It Down Radio with co-host Frank McKay.
I'd like to welcome everyone to the Melissa Itell Duran Show. Frank McKay here, more importantly, author, novelist, subject of a documentary, and so much more than that, educator, teacher, wife, and of course, radio show host Melissa Itell Duran is here once again with us, Frank McKay. Melissa, how are you?
I'm great, Frank. How are you?
I'm doing wonderfully. Are you enjoying the Olympics?
I'm trying to watch them as much as I can. It's a little hard with the time differences. I can't really stay up that late. I mean, if you really want to see everything, you have to be prepared to stay up past midnight.
Yeah, right. There's no question. I guess people are TiVoing, right? People are DVRing.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah. I mean, have you changed your schedule at all with this? I mean, of course, it's a little difficult when you have a child, right, and you have a life and you have a husband. Or, you know, on the other side, people have husbands and wives and, you know, whatever, jobs, right? People have a hard time staying up for all of this. I mean, what are the ratings like? Are you paying attention to that?
I'm not really. I mean, I know that the sister station, is it ESPN, is covering them as well at different times, or they're covering different events. I really haven't focused on the ratings, although I can tell you that everybody from the Today Show through the NBC Evening News is on it.
Yeah. You know, the shooting, and again, we don't want to get too heavily into that. It's talk to death. And it's such a horrendous situation. But I do have to say, someone told me that there's 18 school shootings since the start of 2018 as we speak here. As we speak here, it's February 16th. And, you know, people are going to hear this later, I know. But, I mean, on February 16th, 2018, there's already been 18 school shootings. And, I mean... obviously, there's so much wrong with that, but is that a high number? Is that normally what we have? And if so, what do you think's causing that?
Well, they're probably talking about counting schools that we haven't heard about, that haven't made the news, but it is a lot. And I mean, immediately my mind draws to Sandy Hook, and then back to Columbine, which are the two most serious examples of school shootings, the most egregious, and you know, the other ones that you mentioned, you know, the other 17, 18. I don't know if we've actually heard about them in the news. They haven't garnered as much attention as this one in South Florida.
You know, I dropped the kids off this morning at the high school, and you know, and again, you have to, you know, have these. The same feelings. I'm sure parents have the same feelings when you hear some horrendous news like this. But I noticed there was no flag at half staff.
And
I'm thinking to myself, maybe they just don't want to bring that much attention to it. They don't want to give ideas to kids. What did, from an administrator, I don't know if you could share this, but from an administrative standpoint, you as an educator, what did the administrators say to you after Sandy Hook or after Columbine? Did you guys have a special meeting to talk how to deal with it? What was the take on that?
Well, of course, because it was so prominent in the news, it was assumed that everyone would have heard about it, and that some reaction, some statement would have been considered almost obligatory, and we did. And act upon that and address the, you know, address the concern and you know, actually talk about it in school and because everybody knew what had happened. And with this, I think it's impossible to escape the horror, the shock. I think schools are probably going to talk about reassuring their students, the families. They're probably going to come under a lot of scrutiny for the way they protect the students, and I mean, there's not much you can do about. We can't do much about guns right now. I think that has to be up to the lawmakers and the government and to the FBI and people like that, whose job it is to weed out these characters who are making these, you know, these grandiose announcements on social media. But I think you have to just, you know, go on lockdown and say, okay, you know, well, you just can't walk in anymore. Most schools are pretty good about that. You know, you just can't walk in and say, hi, I want to go see my kid. They want an ID. They want to know who you are, where you're going, who's your kid, who is the kid's teacher. How this guy got in is quite interesting. I mean, it seems like he just kind of slipped in, and I don't know. It's frightening to think that something like this could happen again, and we hope it doesn't. But who knows? I mean, with the way the laws are written, it's very easy for an 18-year-old to get a hand on a legally purchased gun.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. It's so disturbing. Frank McKay here with Melissa Eitel-Jurin. We're talking about what's in the news and the Olympics, of course, and on a much dire, darker stage, the shooting in Florida, the horrendous shooting that took 17 lives. Is it still 17? Is it something that we're expected to hear more tragedy?
Oh, I hope not. I hope there aren't any additional victims. There were the wounded among the school, the students and the personnel. I haven't heard anything about, you know, increasing the count of the wounded or the dead.
Well, I have to say that there's a bit of a movement on social media where people are saying, let's talk about the heroes. More than we're talking, let's make the heroes more famous than the shooter. And I actually think it's a pretty healthy approach. There were some heroes in this, and you heard about the teacher who threw his body in front of the bullets and to protect children. I mean, that's mm-hmm. just an incredible moment. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes. I recall reading that. Yes, those adults were terrific, and they gave their lives. And think about themselves.
I mean, you know, real heroes in a time mm-hmm. of severe, severe crisis. You know, again, I don't want to dwell on it. And what else could you say about it? It's just a horrible, mm-hmm. horrible, horrible situation. And again, it's worth mentioning. Of course, speaking for Melissa, our thoughts and prayers are with the victims their families. With this horrendous situation, but obviously it's something we need to talk about in the future and need to act on. But right now, I think it's been talked beyond belief, and I don't even like hearing about it anymore. I don't like watching movies where kids die. You know, I don't like, you know, those kind of tearjerkers. It's just not my type of thing. I mean, having four kids, I you just want to, you know, it's difficult enough to be a parent.
Watch. Yeah. Right. It's difficult to watch. It's hard to watch innocent adults get shot up.
Yeah, right. Never mind children, you know, on the verge of starting out their life and everything. So, listen, let's move on. But just so everyone knows, we're not ignoring the subject. We're just, it's talked about so much, and we'll just hopefully get onto a lighter subject. And again, let's go back to the Olympics for a second. There are folks who live and die for the Olympics. I mean, they jump in there. And again, you know, not to get dark here, but it's worth noting too that there hasn't been any incidents there, right? I mean, we haven't heard about anybody trying to do something horrendous at the Olympics, and you know,
no,
even
God
though
forbid.
Yeah, we're in Korea, you know, we're in South Korea, and North Korea hasn't tried to do something thus far, and there hasn't been any kind of displays of strength or power or silliness that are going on. Do you expect to see anything like that?
I hope to God not. I mean, I think it remains to be seen what happens after the Olympics are over, when, you know, things will go, you know, back to normal, everybody returns home. What will the stage be like for North Korea and the United States? But if you're thinking about another Munich from 1972, where the Palestinian terrorists got into the Olympic Village and took hold of the Israeli athletes and killed, I think, almost most of them. That's correct. They held them for hostage, and then that was in cold blood.
Terrible.
I mean, they celebrated the anniversary at the 2012 Olympics in London. I think there was a controversy about whether or not the London Olympic Commission wanted to actually commemorate the event then and there, and that was a sore spot for people who remembered that and who may have lost their own family at the Munich Olympics.
Yeah, just horrible. When people, terrorists and people that are just completely off their nut are, affect innocent people and just take on these situations. Again, Frank McKay here with Melissa Eitel-Joran. On a personal note here, I just came back from a trip that cost me about $170 only. How about that? I got miles. I got free miles for filling out a credit card application and being approved, and they gave me 65,000 miles. And my wife, as a birthday present, kind of figured it all out, and I think I had to spend $90. I used the card to spend the next $90 that I was going to spend or whatever, and I paid it back immediately, and I, to be honest with you, I ripped up the card as soon as it was done, I ended up getting, it took 90 days to redeem or whatever, but my wife figured out for my birthday, okay, well, you want to go, where do you want to go? And I said, Athens would be great, London would be great. So I did a rapid fire trip around the, I don't know that a lot of people like to travel like that, but I do because I want to rush back and get back here for my wife.
I don't want to waste time.
I don't want to waste time. But the one thing I got to say is sometimes you get what you pay for or you get what you don't pay for. And and I ended up going to Istanbul Airport 3 times in 4 days.
Oh, and, my God.
Yeah. So I flew from JFK to Istanbul. From Istanbul, it was like a quick layover, and then to Athens. Now, Athens is a city, and I know people might cringe listening when I say this, but Athens is a city you could do very quickly. I was only really interested in the architect, the ancient and the antiquity.
Ruins, right.
Yeah, and it's all close together. That's one thing, I don't know if I ever said this to you, but remember 20 years ago, people were telling me, if you're going to go to Cairo, and this is before 9/11, right? And they said, if you're going to go to Cairo, go to, but this might have been 24 years ago, 25 years ago, go there and just do it as a layover, as a stopover, and jump in a cab for $20, tell the cab driver to hang around, give him another $20, or just pick up another cab on the way back. But just go to where the sites are, and it's the pyramids and the Sphinx, and everything is so close together. Everything is right on top of each other, and it didn't hit me until I went to Athens and realized exactly the same thing. All the ruins, the ancient civilization. I mean, they didn't take buses or trains, right? They didn't have planes and even skateboards they didn't have. They had to walk everywhere. So everything
had horses.
They had everything on top of, each other. So the thing is, if you go to the Acropolis, you'll see the Parthenon right there, and you'll see the Temple of Venus, and from there you can see in the distance, you can see the Temple of Zeus. You see the ruins. It's pretty amazing. But I would suggest to anybody that wants to see the antiquities, I'll take Rome out of there because Rome is, there's so much more to see.
Yeah, that's a different story.
But if you want to see Athens, it's a very small city, and you want to see Cairo, do it as stopovers at first. And if you really love it, then go back and really explore it. But you could do those two probably, back-to-back days. Very cheap.
And then go on somewhere else. Yeah, that's a great tip.
Yeah.
That's a great tip. I heard that Cairo is very sandy in the street.
I'm sure. But I have to say that, and then I went to the UK, which is, I needed more time. There's just so much to see. I had a list from different people I was meeting and people telling me to go. And I was just rapid firely, you know, just grabbing all the different places. The real, you know, I mean, I hate to bring up a negative, right? But the Istanbul airport, it's so large and it's so far apart. Everything is so far apart from each other. I mean, literally, it could take you 40 minutes to go from gate to gate. And then
it's
they
like
switch the gates.
From Macy's
yeah.
And Herald Square.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. I mean, it is an unbelievable, unbelievably disorganized airport. And also, they don't have a lot of outlets. I don't know, by design or whatever, but they don't have a lot of outlets. And I've got to say this, and again, I want to be very careful, and I'm sure, you know, we have listeners from all different types of backgrounds, and I have the greatest respect for different religions and everything else. The one thing that stood out to me, and it stood out to me in Morocco, is that young men, and you know, my son's age and whatever, a lot of anger looking, I'm not all of them, but there's a lot of angry looking young men, and they sit in prayer. They'll sit, you know, like four people, and they sit kind of in a circle, and I'm not disparaging, it's their way of worshiping, and they'll pray, but they sound so angry when they're doing it. And like, if you glance over, and I certainly wasn't staring, you notice that they're looking at you, and a lot of them, you know, a lot of folks, young folks over there, just do not like me. I mean, they just automatically.
They think you're an American. They can tell you're an American and you're a tourist.
Yeah, I don't need to go somewhere and feel like I'm imposing. I'm whatever.
Yeah,
so
the hostility.
Yeah, there's a lot of hostility there, and there's some wonderful people there, no question. But there's a lot of people that really are angry with us in the Mideast. And the only place I want to go to Cairo, but I certainly want to go to Israel. And,
oh, me too. Yeah.
I've got to get there. That's the only place I want to go because the people like us there, you know. The
yes,
people,
they do.
And it's wonderful. They're our best friends. Again, Frank McKay here, kind of rambling on a bit, but with Melissa Itell-Joran on the Melissa Itell-Joran Show. But your thoughts about what I just said there, traveling-wise. You have any desire to go to the Istanbul airport?
No, not really. I mean, you're going to find that. You have to be careful where you go in the world because, you know, we're not exactly, you know, on everybody's number one popularity list. I don't have a desire to go to Istanbul. I do want to see the pyramids. That's on my bucket list. I want to see the pyramids. I'm just looking for an opportune time. But yes, you have to be very careful where you travel when you're going on in an international trip, because again, you know, we're not on everybody's favorite friends list, and you don't know who is thinking what or doing what. You don't know who's involved with which organization, who's a lookout for ISIS or whatever, and you just have to be on the very careful. You have to keep up your guard. So I think, you know, you're traveling alone. I'm doing a solo act. I think that's very brave. I don't think I could myself. I don't know. It's something that it's different when you're traveling in the U.S. by yourself. And even then, you know, you have to be careful too, because they a lot of areas, a lot of the locals can tell if you're a visitor. But these days in our international climate, you just have to keep your guard up a little bit when you're traveling through these airports. Especially in the tinderbox areas, like Turkey and possibly the Middle East, certain parts of the Middle East.
Yeah, I liken this trip a little bit to Morocco, and I went to a Muslim village. I don't know if I told you this, but I went to a Muslim village on my way to like Tangiers or Algiers, whatever, Casablanca, and the name of the village was Tetouan. And it's not a village, it's a city, 500,000 people in Tetouan. And it was a market day. And I'm not being disparaging, I'm not trying to be funny, but there were goat's heads on the top of spikes.
Oh my God.
And they made soup out of it. But I got off this bus, and I was traveling alone. It was right as Obama got elected. So I guess it was going into 2009. And there was a lot of animosity towards me. I guess all Americans, but I was the only one who spoke English anywhere around. I just got on a random bus, and the the bus driver spoke a little bit of English. He was a decent guy. He was kind of westernized. And, you know, I got to say, I was at one point a little old man, and he looked like he was 122 years old. I mean, he looked old. And he was just yelling at me. And I mean, just yelling at me at the top of his lungs.
What language?
Arabic, you know, Moroccan or whatever, you know. And he was screaming at the top of his lungs at me. And I kind of smiled and just nodded and just kept moving on. And some younger guy next to him, I imagine he's about 17 years old, 18 years old. He was in, you know, Americanized clothes. He yelled out, he said, "Hey, you." He just said that you could shit from your smile. And I guess that was some kind of mixed, you know, metaphor.
Oh, my God.
Mixed something. Hey, we're coming up on a break. Do we have you for a second quick segment?
Sure.
Melissa Eitel-Jurin on the Melissa Eitel-Jurin Show. Frank McKay here. Coming back right after this with a little more. We've been talking a little bit about travel, a little bit about the Olympics, and of course our hearts go out to the victims and the families of the recent shooting, school shooting, all the recent shooting. I mean, there's 18 shootings, and obviously there's victims there, and but certainly the one that everyone's talking about and thinking about and crying about right now, rightfully so, is the Florida shootings in Coral Springs. Frank McKay signing off for the Melissa Eitel-Jurin Show. We'll see you next time on the Melissa Eitel-Jurin Show.
You've been listening to Melissa Eitel-Jurin and co-host Frank McKay on Breaking It Down Radio.